Good morning. This is Mark Mace, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord this morning to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for what you have given to us, from your bountiful blessings, Lord, that you, Lord, bestow upon us each and every day. Our benefits that we receive from you are renewed daily, Lord. So often we don't stop to recognize it, Lord, and we certainly don't stop to say thank you. But Lord, we do pause just now, this moment, and say, Lord, we acknowledge your goodness in our life. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We ask you that this day, Lord, you'd help us to live for you and to live like you. Help us, Lord, to be very mindful and very careful, Lord, to live in a manner that would bring honor and glory to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to just to start off with a word of encouragement to go vote. Today is a great opportunity in America that we have been given by our forefathers, and that's allowing us to vote for our leaders. And I don't know if you've voted already or not, but I would encourage you, if you have not voted, to make sure you take the time and get out and vote. I personally believe it is your duty, it's your obligation as a Christian to go vote. And you need to go in that voting booth with your faith intact, with the biblical principles intact, and vote according to your faith. And to whomever you think deserves your vote, you cast that vote. But don't leave God on the outside. Take the Lord's faith with you and go exercise your God-given and your citizens' right here in America to do that. And what a great privilege it is. And I trust that you have exercised that, or that you will this day. You know, if you have a tendency to voice your opinion about what's taking place in society today, I think you have an obligation then to go vote and be a part, have an active role in the voting of America. And if you're not going to vote, I personally think you don't have a lot of right to be complaining about a lot of stuff. If you don't have the character to go vote, I wouldn't say that you'd have much character than to talk about what's taking place. It's your duty, it's your obligation, and I would encourage you to do that. God help us to be alert and conscious citizens, and to vote and vote with our faith. That aside, I just like to draw our attention. I have a weekly program, and I have titled it here recently, Biblical Principles for Practical Living. I am in a series in our church, have been for some time on Wednesday nights, going through the entire book of Proverbs, verse by verse. Though we're not looking at each verse always, but I'm going through before our services, and I'm identifying what I'm calling biblical principles for practical living. And I've been doing that here on the radio for some time as well. And I'd like to continue in that vein this morning. We're in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, and we're in verse number 28. I've identified that as a biblical principle for practical living. I'd like to share that with us this morning. The Bible says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. I read several commentaries and got some notes of some of those. One said this: "He answers or speaks considerately and conscientiously, and therefore profitably, or to the use and edification of the hearers." That's talking about a righteous person. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Another said this: "The good man deliberates before he speaks, takes time to consider his answer, lest he should say anything false or inexpedient or injurious to his neighbor." Well, that's so true. Taking time to answer, to think about what you're going to say before you say it, lest he should say anything false or injurious to those around him. Another one said this: "A good man proved to be a wise man by this, that he governs his tongue well. He that does so to the same is a perfect or complete man. It is the part of the character of a righteous man that, being convinced of the account he must give of his words and of the good and bad influence of them upon others, he makes consciousness awareness of speaking truly and of speaking pertinently and profitably, and therefore he studies to answer that his speech may be with grace." Well, that's so true. Proverbs 15:2 is, it is his heart that answer, that is, he speaks as he thinks, and dares not do otherwise. He speaks the truth in his heart. You know, God's people, we are the righteous. We're not righteous because we're perfect. We're righteous because of Christ's righteousness that's been imputed to us. But the heart of the righteous studieth the answer he or she thinks about, considers, prayerfully even so, what they're going to say, how they're going to say it. A wicked man, though, is proved to be foolish or a fool by his words, because he never takes heed to what he's going to say. But his mouth pours out evil things, and often to the dishonor of God and to religion, often to his own reproach and to the hurt of others. And so we need to stop and think this morning. I would ask you to ask yourself a question. Are you a person that takes time to think about what you're going to say when you're answering or giving your opinion? Or are you the kind of person that just sort of blurts it out and afterwards you say, you know what, maybe that wasn't the best way to say it. You know, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer. In other words, you could say this, the heart of the righteous, he prepares to answer before he answers. He takes time upon giving a question to think about what he's going to say and how he's going to say it. Or he's taking time months or years ahead of a schedule, and he knows how he's going to respond to certain circumstances because he's thought about potential circumstances that he may find himself in. And when he does find himself in that, he's already thought about how he's going to answer, why he believes or why he does what he does. And so he has an answer that's ready. It's a prepared answer. He has studied to answer. Now he's ready to give that answer. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, the Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame to him. He that answer a matter before he heareth it. In other words, and that idea, heareth it, is not hearing it with his ears like you hear the audible sound, but he that answereth a matter before he understands it, has a good comprehension of what it is. That person that answers before he's got a good comprehension of what's taking place or what's being asked, it is a folly and shame to him. In other words, God is advocating here being slow, being thoughtful, meditating, being on purpose with our speech. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, that's the person that brings folly and shame upon him. But the person that would think about it and understand it, what he's about to say and what he's about to address, that person can avoid bringing foolishness or shame upon his own reputation. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. You think about the mouth of fools pouring out foolishness. Basically, they just say whatever's on their mind. Sometimes you'll hear somebody come along and say, well, you know what? I'm not afraid to tell them what I think. I'll give them my 2 cents. I'll give them a piece of my mind. You know, that's often a foolish person talking because, you know, when you're that type of person that said, I'll just give them a piece of my mind, you're probably not giving a lot of time and consideration to what you're saying and how you're saying it. The Bible says the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. I like that. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. In other words, he's getting some instruction. His mouth is receiving some instruction before it engages and begins to spew out those words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. This is interesting. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Boy, you ought to let that verse sink in. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I wonder how many of us could say that that's a principle by which we live, that we are not rash with our mouth. We're not hasty to utter what we're going to say. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? Notice that verse again, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. I wonder how many times have we heard someone say something, and they, after it sort of passes their lips, they say, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. As if it's a mistake. That sort of goes along this idea here. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. why or wherefore should God be angry at that voice and destroy the work of thy hands? I wonder how many times you have said those words, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But you know, after you say it, you can't take it back. Words are one of the most powerful things on this earth, in the world. They either build or destroy, take like, forgive it. And once you say them, you cannot take them back. You can apologize all you want. You can keep saying, I didn't mean that. I was just upset. But those words have been said, and they'll never be forgotten. And the damage or the good that's been done is done. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord and be ready always to give an answer. That's the key to speaking properly, being ready. Prior preparation, being ready to give an answer. In Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. You know, we don't have to say everything that's on our mind. We don't have to say everything that we thought of. We can bite our tongue. We don't have to just let everything get out past our lips. Some people take pride in the fact that they're willing to say anything. Some people take pride that they're willing to give them a piece of your mind. I've often said this, you know, the person says, I'm not afraid to give them a piece of my mind, usually are the ones that don't have much mind to be given out. They better be keeping what they have. And I say that, you know, sort of facetiously and kiddingly, but the point of it is, usually the person that says things like that is the person that probably doesn't provide a great example for anybody else how to control his or her tongue. They're usually the type of person that are saying things that shouldn't be said, and sometimes, thankfully, they regret it, although after it's said, it's too late. So we need to be mindful. We need to be careful. There's a principle here that God is trying to teach us. There is an application that God wants us to make. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. He thinks about it. He's prepared. He's ready. But the Bible says the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. It just lets it fly. Proverbs 13, verse 16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Isn't that interesting? A fool layeth open his folly. He has no other recourse, because that's what a fool does. In Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. A fool uttereth all his mind. That's the person that just says the first thing comes to his mind. It doesn't matter who he's with. Doesn't matter if it offends anybody. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, with caustic, you know, just an acid type of speech. It's just sort of wears you out. It eats at you. It doesn't matter. He's going to speak his mind, or she's going to speak her mind. And I dare say everybody who's listening, you know of some people who speak foolishly. They just say, they utter anything that comes to their mind, and they are often proud and indignant that they're that type of person. But you know, and everyone else knows usually, that that kind of person speaks as a fool speaks. And they don't have a lot of respect from their peers because they speak in such a way that sort of diminishes their character. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Hasty in his words. I wonder today, how many of us that are listening, are we the person that's hasty in our words? Or are we the type of person that we're being thought for? We're meditating, as the Bible says, we're studying to answer before we actually speak. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him, who can tell him? The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Are our words gracious? Are our words gracious? God would help us if we would ask him to help us be prepared with our speech. You know, my father, of all the things he taught me, he probably talked to me about this more than anything. And unfortunately, I haven't done as good a job as I could and should have. My dad used to say to me, son, words are one of the most powerful things on this earth. They either give life or take it. They build or destroy. And once you say them, son, you cannot undo them. Son, be careful how you speak. My dad told me that so many times. And you know, the reason why he told me that so many times is because I obviously wasn't listening very well. And he kept telling me over and over. I do think that it finally sunk in. And I'm not saying that I have lived up to it like I should, because I have not, to my shame, to my reproach. But I know this, though I have failed at receiving the advice and adhering to it like I should, the advice is absolutely great advice. Not only was it great because it came from a loving father, but it came from my Heavenly Father through His written word. And it's applicable to all of us that are listening today. You know, dear friend, your speech has so much power in it. You can either give life or take it. And I would encourage each and every one of us today, right now, to think about it and stop and maybe even pray, say, Lord, help me to understand the importance of my speech. And God, help me to be prepared to give a right answer. And Lord, help me to be prepared to speak with grace on my lips. And Lord, help me to be mindful that I have an extreme amount of influence on people's lives by the very words I say and how I use those words. And God, help me this day to follow this biblical principle for practical living. And that's simply this: the heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And I trust that you'll let the Lord speak to your heart about this. I trust that it'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you with your children. It'll help you with your boss, your neighbors. It's just good advice. It's God's advice. It is great advice. And we would be well advised to take heed to it. I thank you for listening. You have a great day, and get out there and vote.